What Really Happened radio show. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And joining us on the air for most of this hour, I hope, is Stephen Cohen, who has written a book, The Whistleblower's Handbook. He's also the executive director of the National Whistleblower Center. He's very much tied in with the efforts of Sybelle Edmonds to get some information out into the public. So, Stephen, thank you very much for spending some time with us today.
Well, thank you so much, Michael, for having me on air.
You know, in reading your book, I think one of the most important things, that the points that you make, is that people can wind up being technically whistleblowers before they even realize it. It isn't that they stand up and say, I'm going to blow the whistle on XYZ. They actually think they're performing their job function of keeping an eye on, keeping an eye out for problems and going to management and saying, this is a problem and we need to do so forth and so on. And when I was a kid, whistleblowing was considered a legitimate form of free speech and protest and wanting to basically do the right thing, especially if you had to step outside the chain of command or even outside your organizational entity and go public with something that you thought was going wrong. And I remember it was with a great deal of shock that in the wake of the TWA 800 shoot down, how President Clinton immediately signed an executive order revoking all whistleblower protection for the military units that were involved in securing the area where the 747 came down and retrieving everything from the floor of the ocean. And I think that was one of the first warning bells going off that it hadn't just been an innocuous crash because of fuel vapors in the center tank, was when all of a sudden the whistleblower protections were taken away. And, you know, that to me was, it was a warning saying, you can't go public on this, we will hurt you. So anyway, what gave you the motive to write the Whistleblower's Handbook?
Great. I actually really appreciate your opening discussion because it really opens a lot of doors. But my main motive is I've represented whistleblowers for the past 28 years. That's all I've ever done since I graduated from law school. And mm-hmm. I'm just actually sitting in my office now, and I can just see some of the whistleblowers sitting across, and they would often tell their story about what happened. And although most of them could have had a legitimate case, so many of them, by the time they're done telling their story, I already know they've lost their case because they fell in some of the pit holes that the whistleblower laws have, some of the exceptions, some of the technicalities. And the point you raised at the beginning, the first issue that almost every whistleblower faces is the initial either denial that they are a whistleblower in their own minds, or, which is much more common, they just think they're doing their job and doing the right thing. And the way they were brought up, their ethics, it would be almost unheard of for someone to report some type of misconduct and for them to get retaliated against for. That's what you're supposed to do. And if I may, you mentioned Sybelle Edmonds, and I had the honor of representing her in her initial case and now in her attempt to tell her story. But let me tell you from what I know happened in her initial case. Like any honest, patriotic American, she was working as a translator for the FBI, and she ran into some significant issues. The two big ones was, one is the security problem, because after 9/11, they started bringing in lots of translators without doing the full background screening, and there were a lot of issues on who these people were in terms of why are they working for the government. And she had some very strong indication that there were some translators who maybe were selling us that.
All right, we got to take a break for a few commercials here. Hang on to that thought, and we're going to bring you back after these words from our sponsors. Thanks a lot. We'll be right back.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. a complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
If you are a vendor dealer who sells any equipment or service that costs more than $15,000, we can help you make the sale through our low-cost lease finance programs. We are good in all 50 states, including Canada, and we have a very wide credit window. Call us today at 888-639-2621 and let us explain in more detail how we can help you make more sales. Call today, 888-639-2621.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there's only one, Pure Effect Ultra. It features advanced anti-radiation technology and is constantly rated 5 stars as the number one system for reduction of fluoride, drug and chemtrail residues, heavy metals, and more. It raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and provides virtually instant clean water on demand, all while using no electricity. Want to learn more? Visit PureEffectFilters.com. That's PureEffectFilters.com.
Friends, I hate to dig up painful memories, but consider this. You were raised on canned spinach, canned beans, canned beer, canned asparagus, and canned Vienna friggin' sausages. So why in tarnation would you buy canned seed? Man up and buy a Texas Ready Liberty Seed Bank. They come in a genuine resealable grab-and-go U.S. Army ammo box that protects your heirloom seeds from light, moisture, and vermin. Leave those other seed kits for the ignorant and spring for a Texas Ready bank. At Texas Ready, we've thought of the big stuff and the little stuff so you can think of the other stuff. We've got you covered from dirt to dinner. Order a real bank today at TexasReady.net or call 832-493-1357. That's 832-493-1357, TexasReady.net. And remember, nothing good comes from a can.
Well, I got the Sunday won't pass. This economy's in a mess. Seems like every local company's singing the theme from Exodus. Maybe a recruiter could figure out how it qualifies. Sure, that's gonna work. Just another disgruntled executive with a gun. I've got...
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here, and we're spending this hour with Stephen Martin Cohn. He's the executive director of the National Whistleblower Center, author of the book, The Whistleblower's Handbook. And Stephen, before I hand the microphone back to you, I think one of the reasons I'm really sensitive about this issue is if you go back to 1994 and how I got started doing what I'm doing here now. I was living and working in Hollywood. I was a visual effects person and doing moderately well, for this situation. And I literally, by accident, stumbled across evidence in the Vincent Foster case in the Clinton White House. And I just talking to my coworkers, within earshot of some CNN people, and my career evaporated overnight. And it, when I was reading in the front part of your book where you say you become a whistleblower before you even really know it happens, that's where I was. I didn't start out to say, I'm going to challenge the power structure and the power elite, and I'm going to get justice for Vincent Foster. I was just commenting on the obvious fake staged photos that were being put out in the media to try and prove that he was a victim of suicide, and very clearly he was not. And the next thing I knew, I was blacklisted. People were planting lies about me, trying to wreck my career. And so, yeah, you can fall into these hornet's nests before you even know it. And so knowing what the pitfalls are ahead of time is really very essential. And on that thought, would you pick up where you left off?
Yeah, and, you know, you could not, you know, it's really, I have a whole rule on that. I have 21 rules in the handbook, and one of the rules says, yes, you are a whistleblower. I mean, it is so important because, believe it or not, just the way you articulate your concern and who you tell can determine whether you're covered under a very strong, effective whistleblower law or none whatsoever. And people don't really comprehend that. There's no Whistleblower Protection Act in the United States. Like, we have a law that prohibits discrimination on the basis of race. There's a one federal law. If they fire you because you're black or won't hire you, and it sets up standards, and people have come to understand that. Not so for whistleblowing. They've never passed one. We've tried to get Congress to pass one just to fix this problem, but they won't. We have an online petition for that, but Congress won't move. But So what they've done is they have like 50 different federal whistleblower laws. 50. So some cover meat inspection. Some cover securities fraud. Some cover truck drivers. But then what if you're a doctor? There's none explicitly for medical issues. So you have to figure out where you fit in. But so many people start it and say, oh, no, you know, this must be protected. In areas of the law, common sense doesn't always prevail. Let's just put it that way.
It never really has. I mean, I have to be very honest. I mean, I can understand why our present medical establishment would not want any whistleblower protection. I mean, when you hear these horror stories coming out about vaccines, I don't know if you were with us in the previous hour. We were talking about this polio vaccine program Bill Gates is funding in India has led to an epidemic of child paralysis. And so I can understand that the company that made the vaccine would be very much lobbying Congress, no, don't protect any whistleblowers here or we're going to be in a serious amount of trouble. But you're absolutely right. And I have to admit, I was naive. I thought there was a single unified whistleblower protection. But you're right. It appears to be case by case by case, depending upon whose financial interests are at risk.
That's right. And I want to tell you, although medical whistleblowers can get protection, I don't want to say they can't. But the pharmaceutical industry has blocked a specific whistleblower law for drugs, vaccines, doctors, hospitals. You can look at this. It's often special interests that want to cover up, and they don't want anyone reporting. And it's really tragic. When I started practicing whistleblower law back in 1984, the airline pilots were fighting for the right to blow the whistle. Truck drivers had gotten it. There was actually a law passed in 1980. If you drove a truck and there was a safety violation, it was carrying too much weight, they were making you drive when you were sleepy, you could be protected. But they didn't give it to airline pilots. And then I remember there were two crashes of an Alaska Airlines plane. You know, people died and whistleblower issues surfaced. And the fact that there were concerns raised over those flights. And I call it the two-flight syndrome. It took two crashes for Congress to finally pass whistleblower protections for airline pilots in the year 2000. So it's very tragic how these laws get passed or don't get passed and the exceptions. But let's just go back to the Sybil Edmonds case, which is a perfect example. The other thing she saw was that Think Translator, Think 9/11. Think Guantanamo Bay. None of the Americans who were the FBI or CIA, they couldn't speak Arabic or some of the languages being spoken. They needed translators. If you don't have a good translator, you're not getting the intelligence you need. This isn't rocket science. And Sybil immediately saw that because these translators were making so much money, they were fudging on the qualifications test, and they were telling her, you know, as one of their translators, that they couldn't do it properly. And it wasn't that they didn't understand Arabic or Urdu or Turkish. It's that they couldn't retranslate it back into English. A translator needs really good skills in both English and their language. So, you know, she's seeing this. She just reports it to an FBI supervisor. It's like, hey, these guys are telling me they can't do the translations properly at Guantanamo Bay. I mean, who would not want to know that? Who would not shake your hand and say, thank you so much, let's fix it? Well, that's what everyone would think. And if the institution, in this case the FBI, was working like you'd hope they'd work, there never would be a whistleblower issue. Everyone would go home happy. The system would get made stronger. But that's not what happened with Sabell, and it spun her around. She was fired faster than she could even say the word whistleblower. By the time she came to our office, I mean, literally she was in shock. She had joined the FBI as a patriot. And now it's like, you mean all of these issues are being put under the rug? So again, she had raised those concerns, had exposed her violations, had made her report before she read a whistleblower law, before she knew what any of her rights were. So she was fired before she had had an opportunity to try to get maximum protection. So this type of scenario I see all the time. And that's why the story you told in the beginning is so true. And it's something that any American who sees misconduct, they really have to protect themselves. Yes, do the right thing, but you've got to protect yourself.
All right, we have a caller on the line real quick. Sid in Kentucky. Aloha, Sid. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, my friend. Look, I'll keep it short and sweet. Your caller is a stand-up guy with high integrity and honor, and I come from a family of 9 lawyers and 3 judges, and not one of them would stand up and say the things that he is saying. Kudos to you, my friend.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for the phone call. Okay.
And I do just want to make just a little point on that, and I really thank the caller. The National Whistleblower Center, you know, we're here in Washington, and we have national services, referral to try to get people local lawyers, but we see that it's often very hard for a lawyer in a local community with the best of intention to take on, you know, local power structures because it can be unpopular and it can really hurt. So often the whistleblowers do come here to Washington to try to find an attorney or get a referral to someone who will take on, you know, a national or local power structure aggressively and fight for their interests regardless of the influence that some company or agency may have in a local state.
Well, you know, getting back to the FBI, we know that the FBI as an institution is almost hysterically protective of its public image. We know that J. Edgar Hoover's first rule was never embarrass the agency. We know that they constantly were going after anybody in Hollywood who was not portraying the agency in the way Hoover thought it should be portrayed at. I don't know if you're aware of some of the stuff that was going on. If you ever saw the Jimmy Stewart movie, The FBI Story, Hoover was actually on the set every day telling the film director how the movie was to be made and how the FBI was to be portrayed. We know probably another whistleblower case you're familiar with was Frederick Whitehurst, who had been the head of the FBI's crime lab, and he went public with the revelation that a lot of the FBI's crime lab work was being biased in favor of the prosecution, and they demoted him and they put him in charge of, like, the paint chip division now. And this was very germane because at the time we were becoming aware the FBI was engaged in the cover-up protecting the TWA 800 scandal. Certainly the reason I got blacklisted out of Hollywood, I caught the FBI red-handed with their own paperwork fraudulently manufacturing the testimony of Lisa Foster, Vince Foster's widow. And so we know the FBI is not the agency that TV and movie tells us it is. And they're very, very protective of their inner secrets. And I think that's the buzzsaw that Sabell walked into. And Sabell did send me a copy of her book, and I have been reading it. And reading her descriptions of the FBI agents, very much, yeah, that has been my impression of them the few times I've had to interact with them as well back during the COINTELPRO days. Steven, stay with us. We got to do another commercial break. We will be right back. As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance.
Keravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Keravim? Simple. Keravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to teravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. Keravim, the best supplements on earth.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
If you're not prepared, GetPreparedExpo.com. The biggest and best preparedness expo in the USA. Coming April 28th and 29th. GetPreparedExpo.com. Over 125 seminars and exhibits. Survival gardening, water filtration, long-term food storage, freeze-dried foods, heirloom seeds, storm shelters, survival communications, solar power, herbal medicine, heating with wood, living off junk, home defense, guns, ammo. Negotiate for your life. Homeschool your children. Start your own home-based business. GetPreparedExpo.com. Ozark Empire Fairgrounds. Springfield, Missouri. Saturday and Sunday, April 28th and 29th. Meet your USAPrepares.com instructors. Vincent Finelli, Jeff Olson, The Freeze Dry Guy, John Moore, Matt Stein, Larry Pratt, Dr. Julie Pennick, Beth Ann, David Christopher, Julia Shopping, Robert Allen, and over 30 more. GetPreparedExpo.com. Download program flyers and $8 discount coupons at GetPreparedExpo.com. Don't miss GetPreparedExpo.com. Saturday and Sunday, April 28th and 29th. GetPreparedExpo.com.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're talking with Stephen Cohn, who has written the book, The Whistleblower's Handbook. And, you know, I guess years and years ago, when I started out whatreallyhappened.com, I had this very naive attitude that as long as you were telling the truth and you were intending to correct an erroneous situation, that whistleblowing would be considered protected free speech under the First Amendment. Obviously, that's not the case. And hearing that there are various laws that protect whistleblowers only in certain areas and industries tells me that it's another area where the corporate money junkies are basically waging war with each other over, you know, who can be whistleblown on and who cannot. And that, again, protecting certain financial prerogatives seems to be behind a lot of the decision as to where and when whistleblowers are being protected. We know that the bill that created the Department of Homeland Security protects vaccine manufacturers and from a lawsuit which ended this push to try and find out whether or not thimerosal really is connected to the epidemic of autism that we're dealing with. But let's assume that somebody is sitting inside an office in a government agency or inside a corporation and they're aware that something is being done that is unsafe, maybe even illegal or unethical. Just can you give us a quick sort of a checklist of what they should be thinking before they open their mouths?
Okay, absolutely, and it's a great question. In the handbook, my first rule, it has 21 rules, is understand the maze. And it's just really what I've been saying. You know, There's not one big whistleblower law. You got to figure out which one you're under. But the second rule should have been the first rule, but it just couldn't quite fit in. And the second rule says, follow the money. And it comes back to one of the earliest whistleblower cases where a guy was blowing the whistle on some major safety issue. And it's like, again, to common sense America, it's like, well, why wouldn't you want everyone to know about this safety issue and fix it? People's lives are at stake. And what the judge wrote, brilliantly, his exact quote was, safety costs money, period. And if you're talking vaccines, you're talking drugs. And
you're talking nuclear reactors.
Nuclear, the whole works. And you're talking about government contracts. You're talking about, you know, and after that, and as I've thought about it over the years, because I've represented so many people where their whistleblowing didn't seem like a money issue, the health and safety issue. But as I go back and think, you know, people aren't inherently evil. It's not like they wake up in the morning and like, how can I violate the law? But when money's on the table, when it's maximizing profits, when it's getting a contract, when it's meeting your expectations, or giving a reward to someone like giving a contract to a friend or someone who's going to hire you when you retire from the government, when money's on the table, ethics go out. And it's usually the rub. Now, what's fascinating about this, and the reason why I say follow the money, is the four best whistleblower laws in the United States all track money. And, again, I don't think this was a conscious decision. It's just worked out this way. But these laws permit the employee to figure out whether the taxpayer is being ripped off because of what they're blowing the whistle on, whether an investor is being ripped off, whether someone's stealing large amounts from the IRS, not paying their taxes, but it has to be over $1 million, or they're manipulating the sale of commodities like oil, whether they're manipulating to drive up oil prices or something that affects commodities. And these laws have very powerful, state-of-the-art whistleblower protection that not only prevent employees from being fired, but permit whistleblowers to obtain what could be a large financial reward for turning in the wrongdoing. And these rewards were established because it's so easy to understand that whistleblowers never win. You know, even if you get your job back, are you ever going to get promoted? Will your career ever live up to where it was? You mentioned Fred Whitehurst going from the top explosives expert to a trainee in paint chips and eventually having to leave the FBI. Your career, once you're known as a whistleblower, is dead. So the Congress recognized that through financial incentive, you can can push people to blow the whistle if maybe they were reluctant to do so, and you can reward them with the possibility of multimillion-dollar rewards. In other words, if you put your career at risk, you may be able to actually obtain compensation to compensate you for the risk you undertook. So today, when someone comes into my office and they're talking about whether or not they should blow the whistle, the first thing I do is analyze what they're blowing the whistle on and whether or not they're covered under one of these laws. Because
okay, we got to take a break here.
Client.
Okay, hold that thought right there about that first meeting with the client. We got to take a break for commercials, and we'll be back and let you finish up what it is people should be thinking about when they blow the whistle. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
A healthy heart starts with Extendovite.
I've always believed that I had to have a strong defense to overcome the new superbugs of today. Extendivite, a 7-herb heart protection cocktail, not only helped me to overcome a massive heart attack, but it also has built up my natural immune defenses against colds and flus. Extendivite has so many benefits that we all should be taking Extendivite to build up our defenses for what superbugs might emerge yet. So start today, clean out the toxins, and be as healthy as you can be. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome to the What Really Happened radio show. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're talking with Stephen Cohn, the executive director of the National Whistleblower Center. And the website to go to is whistleblowers.org. That's plural. Whistleblowers.org. I've currently got it linked to the front page of whatreallyhappened.com. And on that page, and I notice you're talking already about Frederick Whitehurst that I mentioned earlier in the show. There's also a link where you can get a copy of the book, The Whistleblower's Handbook, which if you're really seriously in a situation where you're feeling your personal honor and integrity is compromised by the job you're being told to do, you need to get this before you go any further. I wish I had this back when I was dealing with the Vince Foster situation. I probably would have had a vastly different life since then. So to get back to where we left off, you're sitting there in that first meeting with a potential whistleblower. You're evaluating what it is they're blowing the whistle on, and can you sort of pick up where you left off?
Sure. So as I say, the ideal is I'm talking to someone before they have blown the whistle, when they're thinking about it. And in that way, we can really look at their protections and their avenues and see, is it worthwhile? And if so, where to go, how to do it. Maybe you're covered under one of these reward laws, maybe not, but maybe there's another law, and I can help you. But that's the ideal. More common, they've already blown the whistle, they've suffered retaliation, and we're picking up the pieces. And in that case, which is, you know, it's hit and miss, sometimes what they've done it right, whether they knew it or not, and we can build a strong case. or they've already missed. I mean, I'll just give an example. One of the most tragic is some of the earliest whistleblower laws were in the environment, Clean Air Act, Clean Water, and it just made sense. But they have 30-day statute of limitation, 30 days. Who?
That's not much time.
And can figure out where they have to go and say what within 30 days. Nobody. It's just, I mean, so many of those cases, they've lost before they start. You know, you can have a breach of contract and you can have years to file. Most personal injuries, 1, 2, 3 years. But you hear it as you put your entire career on the line to blow the whistle about some big company dumping toxic waste in the river. And you have 30 days. I don't know how many times I've had to sit back sick in my stomach that this statute of limitations was missed. I mean, that's just one example of many. It's like Congress didn't make it easy. It's like a minefield, and it shouldn't be. It should be something that's easy and accepted and supported. But instead, they've got 50 different laws, different standards, different courts, different agencies, different definitions of protected activity. And it's really scary. So that's the follow the maze, understand the maze, follow the money. And from there, we find protections and we move on and try to develop a strategy for success.
You know, it sounds to me like you're talking about a 30-day statute of limitations. That is just absolutely insane. I know in a lot of places in the United States of America, that's the statute of limitations to charge for vote fraud. And it seems to me that what we're looking at is Congress is forced to pass a law protecting whistleblowers in the wake of some disaster, like you said, the two-plane incident. But then in order to keep the lobbyists happy, they'll deliberately cripple it with that incredibly short statute of limitations so that most people, by the time they realize they need the legal help and need to go to someplace like whistleblowers.org, they're already out of options. And it absolutely does not make any sense at all that you would have a statute of limitations that short unless the intent was to posture that you're protecting whistleblowers while not actually providing all that much protection at all.
Yes, absolutely true. And you know, it's interesting because in the early days we would do a lot of these environmental cases, 30 days. The Atomic Energy Act also had the 30 days. But so many people were losing, we got Congress to increase that to 180, which was the minimum we thought acceptable, 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
But they never increased it for the environment. Clearly lobbying. It's clearly compromised. And it's, to be honest, the only word I would use is despicable. I mean, you have people who are doing the right thing, who are risking so much. I've read the cases where people have won. They were found retaliation. They were ordered back to work. And if you read the cases, like, God, this person is an American hero. And then you read the appeal. Oh, they missed that statute of limitation. They lose automatically. Despite the evidence of retaliation. It's just tragic.
Well, I think anybody who's going to blow the whistle, and I learned this one the hard way, if you're going to blow the whistle, you know, be prepared for a major change in your life. And that is unfortunately just the way it is. As you say, even if you go to court and you get your job back, your career advancement is definitely ended. There are going to be other subtle forms of retaliation. You know, your assigned parking is way out in the far part of the lot. All kinds of this little petty kind of stuff that's going on. I'm in agreement with you that not only should there be a broad-based blanket whistleblower protection act on the national level, but it should, in fact, include monetary support of the whistleblower if, in fact, they have uncovered a truly serious crime. You know, if they're just going out trying to say, ooh, I'm going to get my boss in trouble because he didn't give me a raise, obviously we cannot be condoning and protecting that. But, you know, we're talking about the money junkies cutting corners on various safety systems for nuclear power. Somebody should blow the whistle on that. And then, you know, if it's found that, yes, corners were being cut, yeah, we've got to take care of the people who are coming forward because they are enduring this change of life. They're giving up the life they've always known. In order to do what's right. We're hearing all these stories about San Onofre's nuclear plant and how Edison may have tried to upgrade the steam generators to produce more power from the reactor without properly telling the NRC. Now they're looking to find out that maybe the alloy that were in these new heat transfer tubes wasn't up to spec, and that's why it's failing so quickly. It almost reminds me of that movie, The China Syndrome, with Jack Lemmon and Jane Fonda and Michael Douglas, which came out eerily just before the Three Mile Island disaster. And that Jack Lemmon character, that's what we're looking at. People have spent their entire lives inside an industry, and all of a sudden they wake up and realize the people they work for are cutting corners to save money, and they're placing people at risk, and they try and go out and do something about it. And if we as a society are not willing to protect those people and say, we will take care of you, we realize you just threw away your career and your life's ambitions to do the right thing, we have to take care of you. And if we fail to do that as a society, then it's just one more step down the path into a fascist economic state where corporations are always right and the people are always wrong, and anybody who stands up to corporate power basically is sacrificing themselves.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. But I want to tell you something that's so interesting. And it's in the handbook. It's my final conclusion. But at the time of the United States Revolution, 1777, we had our first whistleblowers, some sailors and Marines who actually blew the whistle on the first commander of the Continental Navy, whose brother was the governor of Rhode Island, signed the Declaration of Independence, obviously a well-connected family. And these were just working-class guys, just people who had volunteered for the Continental Army to fight for independence, true believers in liberty. And they met aboard a ship, and they wrote a letter to Congress to blow the whistle on the commander for things such as torturing British prisoners. Mm-hmm. And just like today, you know, the photos in the L.A. Times, you know, people would say, hey, if you disclose certain violations, maybe it harms our cause. Maybe we should shut people up and censor things. But these sailors blew the whistle on the commander right at the beginning. They picked one of their number to jump the ship, go to Congress, and deliver the petition. And I always ask people what they think happened to these 10 sailors. I don't know if you want to take a guess, Mike.
Well, I could cheat and look in the back of the book, but why don't you just go ahead and tell us?
Sure. Well, they were not executed like most people say. Congress reviewed it. They suspended the commander and eventually fired him. And then what happened was the commander went after the whistleblowers, retaliated, and got two of them arrested in Rhode Island for criminal libel, which is a serious offense. So these whistleblowers went back to the Congress for help. And just like you were saying before, this is in the middle of the Revolution when the United States had no money. They voted to pay the lawyers for these two whistleblowers to defend the libel charges. They voted to release to the public all of the documentation, despite how embarrassing it may have been to our cause. And they did it. These guys won their case. They got to hire some fantastic lawyers. It was all done unanimously by the Continental Congress. And they enacted America's first whistleblower law in 1778. Saying it was the duty of every American to inform to the appropriate authorities at the earliest possible time evidence of fraud, abuses, and misconduct. I mean, our founding fathers got it right. And they
didn't care
that it was in the middle of a war, or if that we lost that revolution, they would have been hung. Not like they're not going to win election or be embarrassed in the polls. Our founding fathers faced execution for treason by the British. That didn't stop them from supporting sailors and Marines who were blowing the whistle on the commander and releasing the documents, not hiding behind state secrets. There was no Freedom of Information Act. They voluntarily released it. I know of no case in the history of America since then that our government has shown such support for the whistleblowers or offered to pay hire their lawyers to defend themselves when they were getting their lives threatened and their careers destroyed. And it's fascinating because then some Supreme Court justices analyzing our First Amendment concluded that there was an element of courage behind the First Amendment that our founding fathers recognized. That the First Amendment wasn't just some words on a piece of paper. It really articulated a freedom of speech, the right of the people to criticize their government, to expose misconduct, and a recognition that that takes courage, and that that First Amendment should stand for that, not just like, can I read the National Enquirer tomorrow? So the way our founding fathers have dealt with these whistleblowers first time sets a standard which, one, has been lost in history, and two, I'm waiting for the day any of our presidents or our Congress follows this example.
Well, real quick, because I know you got to leave very, very soon here, but it strikes me that acting the way they did, Congress did not, in fact, harm their own cause. Like the situation where John Adams was defending the British soldiers following the Boston Massacre, it was sending the message to the world that this new nation was a nation of laws and rules, not of powerful men, and I think that was such an important message to get out. Also, when you're in the middle of a war, you cannot tolerate politically connected commanders who are incompetent and abusive, because the commander was harming the cause more than anything that Congress did. So they did absolutely the right thing. We need to have a national whistleblower protection. I know you have to leave before this next break here. Is there anything else you want to say to our listeners? Contact information, anything else?
Well, I just want to thank you. And, yes, our website's at whistleblowerswithanf.org. We have a lot of information. I really urge people to get a copy of the Whistleblower's Handbook. It's very cheap. But so many people see misconduct or violations or know someone who has seen some form of abuses. And it's so important to know your rights. This is a citizen empowerment mechanism. Whistleblowing is the right of the American people to hold their leaders and big companies accountable. We need to know how to do it. We need to know how to be effective. We need to know how to win these cases. So thank you so much for having me on.
Well, thank you for coming on the show. We're going to have you probably on again, in May when Sibel comes on the show. We might have you back and have both of you on at the same time to talk a little bit more in depth about her case and the fight that she's had trying to blow the whistle on what's going on over there. So thanks again, Stephen Cohn, Executive Director of the National Whistleblower Center. That's whistleblowers.org. And Stephen, thanks again.
Thank you.
All right. So moving right along, and again, if you're going to blow the whistle on any level, be prepared for major changes to your life. And I will admit to a certain naivete when I tried to blow the whistle, when I was absolutely convinced that I had evidence the FBI was engaging in fraud regarding the death of Vincent Foster, I did the right thing. I tried to report what I saw as a murder. I took it to the TV news networks, and I was told point blank, we can't touch that. It's our jobs. It's the third rail. And my career in Hollywood evaporated. And I, being the stubborn sort of a mule that I am, I worked for a lot of years to reestablish my career. And once I proved to myself I could do that, I dumped it, and I said, okay, I'm going to spend the rest of my life, however much is left, as a peace activist and talk show host, and try and derail this rush off the cliff into World War III. All righty, getting back to the ClimateGate situation, as you know, we've been reporting on how the NSIDC has been caught red-handed fudging the data regarding sea ice extent. They're still trying to put out this idea that, oh, it's melting, it's going away, and yet the actual data coming in is showing that the Arctic sea ice extent is expanding. It's getting larger. And now we're hearing this very interesting story coming out of Europe. They're predicting that this next month, May, will be the coldest May in 100 years. They're predicting hailstorms. They're predicting a wind chill. They're talking about basically it's going to be a very, very rough May, when normally we associate May with the full blossoming of spring and so forth and so on. You remember back in 2000? When the UK Independent was predicting snowfalls are a thing of the past. And then in 2009, Al Gore said exactly the same thing. Yesterday we were reporting on how NASA has now reduced its predicted number of sunspots for the solar maximum, and it's down at the level of the Maunder minimum, which triggered the Little Ice Age. And now they're saying coldest May in 100 years. And still the carbon Nazis are out there saying, well, it may be cold where you are, but trust us, the world is burning to a crisp, and it's all your fault, and you must give us your carbon tax money, and you must do what we, you must accept a lowered standard of living to save Mother Earth and to pay back the international bankers, blah, 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 blah. And it is a reminder that political institutions and science institutions and corporate media institutions that engage in these kind of large-scale propaganda deceptions against the ordinary people of the United States of America will never admit they are wrong, possibly until standing on the gallows with the rope around their neck and the hand on the trapdoor, and at that point they might say, okay, you're right, we were lying to you all along, can I go home? All right, we're going to take a break for commercials. We'll be back with the last segment of our show after these words from our sponsors.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there's only one, Pure Effect Ultra. It features advanced anti-radiation technology and is constantly rated 5 stars as the number one system for reduction of fluoride, drug and chemtrail residues, heavy metals, and more. It raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and provides virtually instant clean water on demand, all while using no electricity. Want to learn more? Visit PureEffectFilters.com. That's PureEffectFilters.com.
If you are a vendor dealer who sells any equipment or service that costs more than $15,000, we can help you make the sale through our low-cost lease finance programs. We are good in all 50 states, including Canada, and we have a very wide credit window. Call us today at 888-639-2621 and let us explain in more detail how we can help you make more sales. Call today, 888-639-2621.
Hey, John, you know, we were kind of wondering
what?
That, well, we knew you guys were saving stuff and getting ready for something like
yes.
this.
Yes.
So what I'm trying to say
the is, answer's no.
Man, I've been your friend for 20 years. We played on the company softball team together.
We simply don't have enough food.
But I'm your friend.
Look, Norbert, I came to you 3 years ago, and you basically called me crazy and walked away.
But...
Sorry.
Bummer.
Folks, they may be rolling their eyes at you now, but they'll be on your front porch when it all hits the fan. So why don't you mosey on over to TexasReady.net and order up a Liberty Seed Bank for you, your shirt-tailed relatives, and all your non-prepping friends. Order your bank at TexasReady.net or call 832-493-1357. That's 832-493-1357. TexasReady.net. Are you Texas ready?
Welcome to the What Really Happened radio show. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And just a real quick comment about all of these companies that are selling the heirloom seeds. The time to get them is now. Because there's a practical consideration. I'm a farm kid, and I understand this thing. You know, you should be planting those gardens now. And I know the government wants private home vegetable gardens banned so that you will remain dependent on the big box supermarket corporations that take your money and give the government a piece of the action. But seriously, if you're in a position where you've got enough ground in your backyard to be planting a vegetable garden, you should be doing it now. It's the springtime. This is when you're supposed to be planting. Because you don't put the seeds in the ground and have a salad buffet 24 hours later. It does take a little time for that to happen. So you should be starting that now. You should have a garden ongoing now. And you know, this is a learning curve. I know Hollywood tends to sort of portray farmers as kind of bumpkins and just sitting there, you know, enjoying the bounty of the earth. But farming is hard work, and keeping a garden alive is hard work. You know, and you got to start learning that right now. The seeds are a necessary first step. Okay, now that we've talked about that, apparently one of the Fukushima Daiichi reactor operators who has lost his job has blown the whistle, saying that they falsified data and were rewriting daily operative reports on the operation of that reactor. So again, we're back to that whole whistleblowing thing going on. Now, when we've talked before about colony collapse disorder, where the honeybees, who are an essential part of our food infrastructure because they pollinize plants, unless you're buying your seeds from Monsanto, colony collapse disorder is a major problem. And it was linked initially to genetically modified crops, partly on the basis of a peer-reviewed scientific study which showed that benign insect species were being harmed by genetically modified pollen. And the study in particular was talking about the monarch butterflies, which were in decline, still in decline. I've only seen a couple of them so far this year. And immediately, of course, the genetically modified companies came out and said, oh, no, no, it's all the fault of the cell phone towers, and it's all the fault of insecticides, and it's all the fault of flying space aliens and Elvis in the UFO. And we kept pointing out time and time again that colony collapse disorder appeared at the same time genetically modified crops went into the commercial consumer market. Well, now, apparently Monsanto, understanding we're beginning to look at genetically modified crops as a cause for colony collapse disorder, has now bought up the leading bee research firm, which means they can now control and dictate whatever comes out of that research from now on, as long as we keep the profits rolling in. And it's another case of we need another whistleblower deep inside there. Recent study is showing that belief in God is in decline worldwide, which I think is a good thing because it'll silence all those people running around saying, God wills it that you should throw your children onto this or that foe of the state. And again, the church did it to itself with this whole pedophilia situation. And, oh, I hear the music. We're just about out of the time here. Mexico's Popocatépetl sleeping volcano is rattling and shaking things down there. I imagine the smoke plume can be seen from Mexico City. We'll be back tomorrow here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Until then, stay safe, stay well. Support Republic Broadcasting. They need your help. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. Little donations button up there at the top. Thank you very much, and aloha, America.